Chapter 29. Career Advice.
"But why haven't you got occlumency lessons anymore?" said Hermione, frowning.
"I've told you," Harry muttered.
"Snape reckons I can carry on by myself now I've got the basics."
"So you've stopped having funny dreams?" said Hermione skeptically.
"Pretty much," said Harry, not looking at her.
"Well, I don't think Snape should stop until you're absolutely sure you can control them," said Hermione indignantly.
"Harry, I think you should go back to him and ask."
"No," said Harry forcefully.
"Just drop it, Hermione, okay?"
It was the first day of the Easter holidays, and Hermione, as was her custom, had spent a large part of the day drawing up study schedules for the three of them. Harry and Ron had let her do it. It was easier than arguing with her, and in any case, they might come in useful. Ron had been startled to discover that there were only 6 weeks left until their exams.
"How can that come as a shock?"
Hermione demanded, as she tapped each little square on Ron's schedule with her wand so that it flashed a different colour according to its subject.
"I don't know," said Ron. "There's been a lot going on."
"Well, there you are," she said, handing him his schedule. "If you follow that, you should do fine."
Ron looked down it gloomily, but then brightened.
"You've given me an evening off every week."
"That's for Quidditch practice," said Hermione.
The smile faded from Ron's face.
"What's the point?" he said dully.
"We've got about as much chance of winning the Quidditch Cup this year as Dad's got of becoming Minister of Magic."
Hermione said nothing. She was looking at Harry, who was staring blankly at the opposite wall of the common room while Crookshanks pawed at his hand, trying to get his ears scratched.
"What's wrong, Harry?"
"What?" he said quickly.
"Nothing."
He seized his copy of Defensive Magical Theory and pretended to be looking something up in the index. Crookshanks gave him up as a bad job and slunk away under Hermione's chair.
"I saw Cho earlier," said Hermione tentatively, "and she looked really miserable too. Have you two had a row again?"
"What?
Oh, yeah, we have,"
said Harry, seizing gratefully on the excuse.
"What about?"
"That sneak friend of hers, Marietta," said Harry.
"Yeah, well, I don't blame you," said Ron angrily, setting down his study schedule. "If it hadn't been for her..."
Ron went into a rant about Marietta Edgecombe, which Harry found helpful. All he had to do was look angry, nod and say, "Yeah," and "That's right," whenever Ron drew breath, leaving his mind free to dwell ever more miserably on what he had seen in the pensive. He felt as though the memory of it was eating him from inside. He had been so sure that his parents had been wonderful people that he never had the slightest difficulty in disbelieving Snape's aspersions on his father's character. Hadn't people like Hagrid and Sirius told Harry how wonderful his father had been?
"Yeah, well, look what Sirius was like himself," said a nagging voice inside Harry's head. "He was as bad, wasn't he?"
Yes, he had once overheard Professor McGonagall saying that his father and Sirius had been troublemakers at school, but she had described them as forerunners of the Weasley twins, and Harry could not imagine Fred and George dangling someone upside down for the fun of it, not unless they really loathed them. Perhaps Malfoy, or somebody who really deserved it. Harry tried to make a case for Snape having deserved what he had suffered at James's hands, but hadn't Lily asked, "What's he done to you?" And hadn't James replied, "It's more the fact that he exists, if you know what I mean." Hadn't James started it all simply because Sirius said he was bored? Harry remembered Lupin saying back in Grimmauld Place that Dumbledore had made him prefect in the hope that he would be able to exercise some control over James and Sirius. But in the pensive he had sat there and let it all happen. Harry reminded himself that Lily had intervened. His mother had been decent, yet the memory of the look on her face as she had shouted at James disturbed him quite as much as anything else. She had clearly loathed James, and Harry simply could not understand how they could have ended up married. Once or twice, he even wondered whether James had forced her into it. For nearly 5 years, the thought of his father had been a source of comfort, of inspiration. Whenever someone had told him he was like James, he had glowed with pride inside, and now he felt cold and miserable at the thought of him. The weather grew breezier, brighter, and warmer as the holidays passed, but Harry was stuck with the rest of the fifth and seventh years,
who were all trapped inside, traipsing back and forth to the library. Harry pretended that his bad mood had no other cause but the approaching exams, and as his fellow Gryffindors were sick of studying themselves, his excuse went unchallenged.